Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and thank you for tuning into In the Arms of the Angels, hosted by Dr. Kai McNeil on Spiritual Connections Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Mark Rawson. I'd like to welcome you to another great evening of In the Arms of the Angels with Dr. Connie. As always, make sure to go check out her website at drconniesays.com and see her great deal that she has for email readings and the free gifts that she has for you. If you want to find out more about this show and other shows, go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Make sure to call in for readings. The phone number is 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. All right, all yours, Dr. Connie.
All right, thank you, Mark. Good evening, everyone. I didn't hear Mark announce, and I don't know what kind of advertising he's done, but my show will now only be one time a month. It will be the first Thursday of each month on at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. However, if you would like to have readings, if you would like to get in touch with me, obviously I'm available. So my website again is Dr. Connie Says at drconniesays.com. And my email address is drconniesays@gmail.com. I've had two words that have been going through my head over and over the past few days. They are the words mercy and grace. And I know that a lot of us are looking for something, whether we're looking for a job, that great relationship, looking for our abundance, looking to be healthy, looking to be happy, looking to be something. And, excuse me, as I was coming home from work today, this poem came into my head, and I really feel like that the angels want to have me share this with you. Because they want, hang on, they're talking to me. We want you to know how much we love you and that you don't have to strive. You don't have to work so hard. We want you to know that we know the plans that God has for you. Because we were there when God designed them for you. This is a journey of peace. This is a journey of joy. This is a journey of learning. Learning who you are. Learning where you came from. Embracing where you want to go. Embracing what you want to do. For us, there is very little right and wrong. There is only abundance. And we wish that for you. Okay, so having said that, thank you, angels. I want to share this poem, which goes along with what the angels just said. It was written in 1927 by a man named Max Ehrman, and the title of the poem is Desiderata. Go placidly among the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter. for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself. Especially do not feign affection. Neither be critical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune. But do not distress yourself with imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Be at peace with God, whatever you conceive him to be. And whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be careful. Strive to be happy. I reconnected with a friend of mine that I hadn't spoken to in several months, and he had been unemployed for, it's got to be a good 2 years. And in this 2 year stretch, he was everything that the author of this poem says not to be. He worried, he fretted, he stewed, he drank, he got drunk. Then he drank and he'd get drunk again. He would take any job doing any regardless of how it affected his body. He lost connection with his friends. And in the job that he had lost, he couldn't stand it. It was hours were long, pay wasn't enough. The co-workers weren't kind and friendly, well managed. And was pretty demanding. So I've got this two job. He's doing the same thing. His co-workers don't like him. The money's not there. He's micromanaged. He doesn't have time to even walk outside and fresh air or get something to eat. As in his previous job, hours are long. So in this time of, there are times when because of God's desire and the angel's desire to move us to the place that we were born to arrive at, that life purpose that we chose when we came into this body. Because there's a something in us, excuse me, I'm so sorry, allergies are really bad tonight. Because we... Before we came into this body, we worked in concert with God and the angels to create this life purpose for ourselves. And when we come into this body, there seems to be a part of us that still wakens. I'm so sorry. That still wakens to that call. And when we are pushed out of a job, or we lose a relationship, or we're waiting for the whatever we're waiting for, it is the perfect time to find that inner longing of what it is that we want, that heart yearning, and recommit ourselves to being in the flow so that we have and we arrive at this place that, that is our heart's desire. Poem says that, you know, whether or not it's clear to us that the universe is really unfolding in our lives just as it should, and that our journey, we make our journey more difficult when we stress and when we strive and when we do things that do not honor our bodies, when we do things that do not honor other people, when we are when we stay in our depression or we stay in our anxiety, we can't always help being anxious or depressed. For many of us, it's a genetic bent that we have. But you don't have to stay in your depression or your anxiety or your doubt. Doubt isn't genetically predisposed like depression or anxiety could be. But it's a learned behavior. And when we are in these places of the waiting that we get to learn and we get to learn from the angels the things within us that keep us from having what it is we want. For example, my friend. Unconsciously feels like that the only thing he's good enough for is a job where he doesn't make enough money and people don't treat him with respect and the hours are horrible and he can't even go out and get himself a cup of coffee. Because this has been a series of jobs for him. There are people who can't seem to keep a job, keep their money, keep a relationship. Or if they get a relationship or a job, it's the same thing that it's always been. It's like a repeating pattern. And when we are in these times of the wait, that is the time for us to align ourselves with, you know, this is what I really wanted to do. This is the kind of relationship I really want to have. This is the kind of character that I want to build in myself. And it's the walking in the quiet. It's the walking in the gentle. It's the walking in the ability to be able to breathe. It's the stopping long enough to say, is what I'm doing right now moving me toward what I want or away from what I want? Am I not taking care of myself? Am I not eating? Am I not sleeping? Am I going places? Am I working overtime trying to find that thing that I'm looking for, to the point that I don't even enjoy what I'm doing, but I feel like, man, if I don't get out there and, you know, can hustle, then I'm not going to have what I want. And we forget that we actually worked in concert with God and the angels to fulfill a particular purpose. And the reason that many of us don't find that heart's desire cause the give up too soon? Is because we don't stand in our own integrity. We're so afraid that we're going to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing that people are not going to like us, that we're not going to get someone's approval. If I don't do what I'm supposed to, I'm going to lose this relationship. If I don't work a lot of overtime, I'm going to lose my job. I'm not saying walk out on your job or walk out on your relationship. What I am saying is becoming aware of what we do to ourselves out of fear and how we listen to other people and let other people tell us what we should and shouldn't do. Because we don't have the faith, we don't feel like we know in ourselves if we're doing the, quote, right thing. And I was called to mind of Henry Ford when he decided he was going to quit his job and start building cars. And everyone thought he was crazy. And his dad said, why would you want to leave a stable job making $25 a week and go out on some, you know, venture that's not going to work? And, you know, most people know that Walt Disney went bankrupt 7 times building Disneyland. And he would take people out to Pasadena, and it was out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, he'd be driving out of town. He'd be driving these people out there, and these people thought he was crazy because he's building this park that's going to cost a ginormous amount of money that he doesn't have out in the middle of nowhere, and they all thought he was crazy. And the only reason that we know and we have a Disneyland and we have Ford cars is because these people just chose not to listen. There's a desire in all of us, a deep longing in all of us to do that, whatever that something is, whether it's to start your own business, growing flowers, or you know, taking that trip to a place that's very meaningful for you, or anything. Sure, because we don't think we can, or we don't think we're good enough. We don't think we're supposed to have it. And we can come up with 15,000 excuses and reasons why we shouldn't do the very thing that we were came to this earth to do. We settle. We compromise. And we lose the peace. Think of those times when you are in that moment and you are just ecstatic of whatever it is you're doing. You know, I work at a school and I see these little 4-year-olds and they're running around on the playground and they're just having the time of their life and they're laughing and screaming and it comes from the very essence of their being. They are so into what they're doing. When is the last time that you experienced that kind of connection with in the bills and we get caught up in the work and we get caught up in the how come my relationship's not working or where am I ever going to have one? Or, and we lose the passion that we came into this world with, and we end up, like my friend, stuck in our mindset of it has to be this way, and I have to work hard, and I have to do my job and God's job both, because we lose our faith in our Creator. And we forget the love and the mercy. And the forgiveness. We also forget, one of the things that I've heard a lot, and I really like it, is that God is the hound of heaven, that God actively seeks us out. First, because we are so connected with the universe, obviously, but the universe continues to burn that little ember in our psyche to remind us of the joy and remind us of our purpose. Continue to gently prod us if we choose to, you know, to go in that route. I'm reminded of the parable of Jesus about the prodigal son, and this story of these two young men, and their father's very rich, and they each have an inheritance coming. And the younger one is really tired of waiting for his money. So he asks his father, I want it now. And his father gives it to him. So, of course, he goes away and he parties and has a good time and makes lots of, quote, friends who love him until the money runs out. And he ends up totally broke. He's so poor that he asks a man who raises pigs. Now, in the story, this young man's a Jew, so of course they don't eat pork. And he's asking this man if he could tend his pigs. So he's sitting out in the pig pen, in the mud, in the slop, eating the husks of the corn. They didn't even have hardly any corn on them left, just the husks. That's what he was eating. And he sat there one day and he said, you know, I wonder if my father would forgive me if I went back home. I'll tell him that I will be a servant. I'm not going to ask for anything. I'm just going to go back and humbly apologize that I made a mistake, that I've made too many bad choices. So he starts back home. Finds that his father has been standing on the road looking for him and sees him like a long way off. And his father comes running to him, and the boy says, oh boy, he's going to be really, you know, really upset. And he's starting to formulate again the story and the apology, and that I'm only going to work as a servant. And the father runs to him and grabs him and kisses him and says, this is my son. I thought he was dead. Bring my finest robe. Put the family rings on his fingers. And let's create a feast because my son is back. That's what the universe does for us. That is the grace and the mercy. In the moment of waiting, when we're in the moment when we don't think that God is there, it's that time when we remember that God is actually on the road looking for us, watching over us, watching our every step. And if we slip and we fall, that the universe is there to pick us up and to move us, continuous on our journey. If we are spiteful and make quote mistakes on purpose, It's not like we accidentally did something. We knew we were going to get burned when we touched the stove, and we touched the stove anyway. Kind of a choice. There's still the grace and the mercy. There could be some cleaning up that will happen from any choice that we make. But there's still the grace and there's still the mercy. Mark, I'm going to let you come on if you're there.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Did you not hear the introduction?
Yeah.
And, oh, okay.
I think no, I didn't hear Mallory.
Yeah,
I heard
Mallory came on, and then I did an announcement after that. You didn't hear any of that?
I heard you.
Oh, okay.
I heard you introduce me.
Oh, okay. That's weird. Yeah, I have to call tech support. Okay, everybody, you're listening to In the Arms of the Angels, to Dr. Connie. To find out more about the radio show, go to the website, spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Make sure to call in for a reading right now at 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. And back to you, Dr. Connie.
Alrighty, thank you. I'm going to do something that a lot of people don't do. I have heard a lot of talks about, well, you know, you just ought to get your life back on track, and you just ought to live the life you're supposed to live and not be afraid and not do as my friend did and stay stuck in a mindset that where he creates the very thing that he didn't want, but thinking that's all he was good for. So it really struck me hard because I know that there are times in my life that I do that, that I find myself back in situations, and I asked very specifically as I was commuting this morning, what do I do to not do what my friend did, to be in a moment of waiting, but end up creating when I finally get that thing that I've been waiting for? It's just like what I just left, and I'm just as unhappy now as I was before. And that's when the angel started talking to me again about grace and mercy. And they said, and you guys can write this down. But they said, you do one thing at a time. You make one change. For example, if you are worried and you find that you worry a lot, you can create a God box. You can create a container for a prayer request and make it a ritual of writing down your request. It can be as many as, you know, 2 words to 1,000 words. It doesn't make a difference explicit you make your request. And you put it in the box as a symbol of God has this in his hands and I don't have to worry about it. That is doing one thing. That's making one change. The angels are asking us to make one fundamental change. And it can be whatever works for you. If you have a person in your life that is mean or says cruel things or does things to hurt you, one time you can treat and act and react to this person differently. Just one time. And if you can do it once, it gives you the permission to do it again. If you can do it twice, you can do it five times. If you did it five times, you can do it 10 times. The angels will guide you in ways for you to take better care of yourself and to do something different. To take a minute break. If you find that you need to take a break and you're the kind of person that just, you know, pushes right through it. But you know at the end of the day you're tired, you're hungry, your back hurts, you know, you had a lousy day. Get up and go to the bathroom. Get up and take a drink of water. Get up and go across the room and act like you're delivering a piece of paper or something. Give yourself time to breathe. Give yourself time, and as you do it, it is an opportunity to call out to the angels to say, thank you for giving me this opportunity to change what I do. And it is going to be in those small things that you do that you will find you will be making fundamental changes within yourself. And the little changes that you make will actually start to add up very quickly. If you're like me, waiting has never been my strong suit. And I have tended to rush, push, work way too hard, and found that usually all I end up with is just being a bit more tired and frustrated because it didn't get me anywhere. And I have learned how to create out of fear. And I am choosing and making a commitment to now create out of faith. And the little changes that I do could be for this one moment right here when all of this negativity is knocking at my door. For just this one time, I'm not going to answer the door. For just this one time when someone says something hurtful for me, I'm not going to say something hurtful back. For this one time when I don't feel like I have any money in the world and I see someone who is looking for money, I'm going to give them some. Just this one time. Just this one time. It's breaking the pattern. It's breaking the mindset that soon you all of a sudden start feeling empowered within yourself. That soon the negativity doesn't talk quite so loud. And you're starting to feel a little better about yourself. There is a desire that you have to do a particular something. Ask the angels to help you with the training or connecting with the people, places, or things that are going to get you there. And then you just keep expecting the universe to honor your request, because you are continuing to do one thing every day, very mindfully that I am shifting the way that I think by responding differently. Because I am moving toward my goal of whatever it is. if you find that thing as a secretary and you're looking for a job, then quit looking for secretary jobs. Yeah, but that's the only thing I know. That's the only thing I can do. That's the only kind of job I can get. These are the stories that we make up that keep us in this nice little comfort zone that doesn't get us anywhere. Now, you may have to, if you were going to take a job and you don't want to be a secretary, you want to own a landscaping business, you may work as a secretary, but the intention of this is only giving me the money that I need to start up my landscaping business. It's not allowing yourself to shift your focus off of what it is you really want. Because if I have a burning desire to start a landscaping business, that's probably my life purpose, beauty to the earth, to take care and nurture the soil, to bring forth beauty out of plants and flowers. What could be more fantastic than that? To work with the angels and work with there are nature fairies, to work with the nature fairies. So I take this job, bring it into what it is I really want to do. If you need education, you pray and you ask the angels, how do I get the education that I need? And then you wait for the response from the universe. Again, it's walking. It's the slow. It's the placid. It's the calm. It's the shifting within ourselves of that dream that we were born to aspire to. I heard Wayne Dyer talk about music, and he was saying that the music is only made beautiful and only meaningful and only makes sense because of the places where there is no music. So you have a series of notes, and then you have a time where there is no music, or there's just a little bit of music, but there's a change in the rhythm or a change in the pattern. And it's in the stopping that makes sense to the music. If not, then it would just be one long continuous series of notes that wouldn't make any sense. Sometimes the most dramatic pieces of the music is right when there's been a big pause, and then you know that the big ending is coming, and it sets up this pause, this waiting, this time where there's seemingly nothing. It's in this pause that you know that the big ending is coming. The universe is going to give us life lessons. The life lessons are going to come in the waiting. That's why it's so important to find that amid the noise and the haste and the rush and to find that place within ourselves of being at peace, being in the eye of the tornado, being able to watch everything swirl around you and not get caught up in it. I'm going to do a general reading just for everyone. of how the angels, what the angels want you to know, and how you can create this silence within yourself so that you can experience the love and the mercy and the forgiveness. The mercy comes in the quiet. The mercy comes in the not striving. The mercy comes in the faith. For those of us who are helpers, and I'm a psychologist, so of course this is what I do all the time. But I've been doing it since I was 8. This is part of my essence, to be a nurturer and to be a support to other people. And as much as I want to do that, I have to I can't even imagine how much more the angels want to be of support and show us grace and mercy and give us these gifts. But we run so fast that it's difficult to, it's difficult to hear the angels. The angels are saying that it would be helpful for us to do in order to come to a place where we can walk quietly amidst the noise and the haste and find our peace and silence and be ourselves and find peace with our God, whoever we can see that to be. The first thing that the angels are asking you to do is to clear yourself. And what happens when we carry a lot of stress, we carry a lot of fear, we carry a lot of clutter, it's like if we were wearing Velcro and we were walking through some room and all these little particles were just jumping onto the Velcro. That's what happens when we walk into an environment where we are not comfortable. For some, it's our home. For some, it's work. For some, it's seemingly everywhere we go. So what the angels are asking is that you call on the angels, and Archangel Michael is really very good to clear. Call on the angels when you are in these situations and you feel stifled or stuck or claustrophobic or you feel misunderstood. That you ask the angels to take the toxic energy out of you and away from you. And imagine them coming with all sorts of cleaning stuff, and they're scrubbing and sweeping and vacuuming and opening up inside of you and running the vacuum and cleaning out all this stress and depression and negativity and heaviness. And then when that's done, ask Archangel Michael to come with his bright white light. Every space in you, every cell in your body from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, with pure white light. And just allow yourself to feel being completely flooded in the light of the angels. And a clearing, if ever you find yourself in a situation where there's been tension or harsh words or aggression, not a bad idea just to ask the angels to come and do a clearing. And then put a protective wall around you so that you can give love. You can give out your positive energy, but you're not taking in everybody else's negativity. Another thing that the angels are asking us to do is to clear our crown chakra, which is that energy space right at the top of our head and is the for communication with God and the angels. And what you can do this at your desk, on the bus, sitting in a restaurant. You can do this anywhere, and nobody's going to know what it is you're doing. You can ask for clearing in a group of people. You can ask for your crown chakra to be open. Concentrate on the area just above your head and ask the angels come and clear that opening, that clear that energy space for you so that you have a direct, clearer direct connection to the angels. And I find when I do work with my chakras, I can kind of feel a little energy buzz, or I usually feel my head expanding. I can feel like that the there's so much energy going on, you know, coming into my head once my chakras open that I actually feel like my head is expanding. So you may feel some sort of something, but if you don't, that's the very fact that you asked is enough to know that the clearing has taken place. It's important to keep your crown chakra open because a lot of ideas and messages that we get, a lot of hunches, a lot of intuitive nudges that we get come through our crown chakra. And the more that we honor that energy area of our being, the more that we acknowledge the messages that the angels give us, easier to start shifting your focus to how much the angels want abundance for us and how aligned they are with helping us to create our life purpose. The last thing that they're to do is to visualize success, to visualize what that, once you've got that thing that's out there that you want, what is, how would you feel once you receive it? To let your imagination just go and look at exactly what it is you want, not what others want for you, not what you think you can get, not what you think you deserve, but in your mind's eye, visualize exactly what you want. I can't even imagine, going back to Walt Disney, conceiving of a Disneyland. Can't even conceive of a Disneyland. Of the technology and the space that needed to be done, and all of the minutiae of parking the cars and the trash and the water and the toilets, and not to mention the shrubbery and getting all I can't even imagine. I mean, the opulence and the perfection that both Disneyland and Disney World are when you just go in and, you know, look at it as an observer. Somebody had to think that up, created that. You know, when Ford built a car, how do you even think of that? We end up thinking too small. We end up thinking, I can't, it's not going to work. Life is against me. Oh, I can't afford that. We can come up with, you know, 1,000 different reasons why we can't. But when you visualize success, you come up with 1,000 good reasons why you can. See it in, see your vision in vivid color. How do you feel? What is that like to have that experience? And when you connect the visualization of, for success with the clear connection now with the opening of your crown chakra, with having your immediate ethereal space cleared out, you will find that you will be flooded with ideas and opportunities. And then it is having the faith and the awareness to grab the opportunities while you can. Wherever you are is a good place. If you're looking for that something, you get to create that something in a whole new way. It's the one of the reasons that we chose to come. Was being able to connect with and plug back into the universe and find that sense of home. Since we're spirits having a human experience, it's finding that we're so big. There's so much to us. We confine ourselves and contain ourselves and think that the our human experience is our reality, when it is not. So the waiting, the walking quietly, the listening in the silence, the connecting with God, the knowing that whether or not we feel like it at the time, the universe is really just doing its thing. Pretty concept. And it's a lot easier to remain optimistic there than to climb back down into this earthly experience and go, oh, this is all there is. So I'm going to ask you and challenge you, Mark, as I'm closing off now, but I'm going to ask you and challenge you to be mindful every day of doing one thing different, just one. Of course, if you want to do 2 or 3 or 10 or 50, great, but your intention, when I get up today, I'm going to do something different to show myself and the universe that I am very committed to making this change in my life and creating what I want out of faith, rather than what I don't want out of fear.
All set?
There you are. All set.
All right. Excellent. So everybody, you're listening to In the Arms of the Angels with Dr. Connie. Her next show, as she's moving to once a month, she'll be the first Thursday of every month, starting effective today. So her next show will be Thursday, May 1st, same time slot, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And with that, Dr. Connie, I'll say good night and thank you.
All right. Good night, Mark. Thank you.
Great. You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. Good night, everybody.